My friends, for our scripture lesson this morning, if you would turn with me to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. That's St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. And I want to read verses 40 through 42. Will you hear these words? Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of the prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our topic this morning, a reward you can't lose. Let us pray. Now, gracious God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation, thoughts, desires of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, dear God, are our rock and our strength and our Redeemer. And the people of God say, Amen. Let me begin this morning by drawing on that expression, I'm glad I'm not walking in their shoes. We use that expression sometimes when we feel that we are being too hard on someone else. Perhaps a public official or someone in a leadership position. And so, in a way to soften our criticism, we might say, I'm glad I'm not walking in their shoes. Or maybe we see someone who is doing a task that would seem to be beyond our talent. And so we have a way of saying, I'm glad I'm not walking in their shoes. This may come as a surprise that a part of following Christ and a part of what discipleship is all about, and yes, a part of what being the church means, is that the call is extended for us to come and to walk in the shoes of Christ. You look at the beginning of Matthew 10, and what has happened there? Jesus has called 12 men. They are a diverse group, yet none of them stands out as one worthy for such a high calling. But Christ sees something within them, that they have the possibility of being disciples, those who would come and learn of Christ. And then Christ would give them authority, responsibility. And so they are called not only to be disciples, but to be apostles of Christ. They would be sent out with authority to heal, to cast out unclean spirits, and yes, with the authority to teach and to proclaim the message of salvation that has been given to them. Christ is clear that people will not want to hear what they are saying. For Jesus says in Matthew 10, see, I'm sending you like sheep among wolves. And so to desire to walk in the shoes of Christ comes with a heavy price. it would seem as if those shoes are too much to try and walk in. And yet in Matthew 10 and 19, Christ says, "Do not worry about what you will speak or what you will say. At that time, it will be given to you." Something about walking, something about witnessing in the shoes of Christ, that we are not by ourselves. The church, as the body of Christ, has authority. It is more than because we are just another institution. We are more than just another organization. But we are meant to be persons who speak with authority, who speak with passion, who speak the truth. And in the midst of all of this, we are assured that we are never alone. But there is something else, and perhaps it is even greater, at this time in our culture and climate that we live in each day. And that is, do our actions match what we say? Do our actions match what we say? I say this because in our culture, in the time that we are living in right now, everybody is talking. Everyone is talking. We have even found more ways to talk. My secretary and I at Denver Public Schools were just in offices, one right next to the other. But we spent a good deal of our time talking and taking care of business through email. We talk through websites. If you want to find out more and more information, then tune in to the website. A friend of mine also was teaching vacation Bible school at his church, and he called me somewhat distressed one night. He said, "Aaron, I'm trying to teach the middle school kids, and all the time I'm trying to teach, they are text messaging on their cell phones." We talk. And as Christians, we talk as well. But the call is placed upon us not only to talk, but to act. To say what we believe, and then to do it. I am one who has never been offended when someone has said, I would rather see a sermon than hear one any day. There is no need to be offended. For those of us who try to preach, the call becomes to practice it. And for those who would listen and hear, the call becomes to do and to act on what we hear. How important is this? Jesus told the disciples, as they were busy saying and talking, but Jesus told them, those who find their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Somehow, in hearing and doing, we find what is right for our soul, our heart, and our mind. And so we are people who have a relationship with Christ. And this relationship is not something that we can put away in the closet. But we have to find ways to express ourselves. And this is what began to speak to me as I came to that 40th verse. For what we hear in these words is the message of hospitality. We say as our mantra in the United Methodist Church, open hearts, open minds, and open doors. And yet, it is also said of the church that the Sunday morning worship hour remains the most segregated hour of the week. Our culture, right now, is struggling with immigration, with who is legal and who is not. It is the truth that we don't say enough, the United States of America. But when we talk about each other now, we talk about who lives in the red states and who lives in the blue states. A few weeks ago, a group of 14 senators came to agreement on how to deal with filibusters in the United States Senate. And it made front page news worldwide, that 14 persons had come together and found common ground. We're just not used to people agreeing with each other. And so the church must come to represent that which is different. We must become those who represent the love of God. What is it that we are learning must also match what it is that we are passing on to others. The good news we have received, we must share it with others. Jean Barron wrote, "The world will not care until we know, I'm sorry, the world will not care what we know until they know we care." We are those who welcome others. And this is so important because so many people cannot claim their future because they have such a negative attitude about the present. So our message is one of welcome. It is a message of hospitality. And as we are sharing this message, then we are reaching out and we are touching the heart of God. To touch the heart of God with God's love. C.S. Lewis wrote, "God loved us not because we are lovable, but because God is love." Not because we are lovable, but because God is love. We read about the fruits of the Spirit. They are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But one author wrote that love is the key to all of these. And I wanted you to hear that. Joy is love singing. Peace is love resting. Long-suffering is love enduring. Kindness is love's touch. Goodness is love's character. Faithfulness is love's habit. Gentleness is love's self-forgetfulness. And self-control is love holding the reins. We are persons of hospitality. And it is more than talk. It is more than talk. The little ones in the scripture that were referred to in the scripture, it is more than just children. But it is anyone who longs to have a relationship with Christ. It is anyone who looks to love God so that they might love their neighbor. They are like thirsty persons in need of a cup of water. This kind of religion is unique in that it proclaims that being and doing come together. It is unique in that when we come to this place, there is a reward. For those who are outspoken, always out in front, for those who are leaders, and we need those kinds of persons, always trying to give of themselves, always trying to be in leadership, we need those kinds of persons, and there is a reward. But for those persons whom we may never hear from, those persons whom we may never see, those persons whose voice we would not recognize, but they are in ministry, they are in mission, they are touching the lives of others, and their reward is the same. We cannot lose this reward. For it says something about the love of God that is working in and through us. It is a love that calls us to be. It is a love that calls us to do. It is a love that can make the difference in the life of someone else. Let it be so, we pray. Amen.